Here I am. My guest, of course, is Major Ed Dames, the subject of remote viewing. Jeff from Springfield, Oregon says, hey, Art, considering all things locked in, there is still free will. But if you look at things from outside of space and time, the point of view of God, if you will, you can see the end from the beginning. You can see all the free will choices which were made. Well, true enough, Jeff, but if, in fact, that view is possible by God or a remote viewer, then the end effect is still locked in, isn't it? Major Ed Dames, right back in a moment. Well, somebody calling himself Quicksilver Cat outside of Chicago asks, what happens to North Korea after it chooses to use a nuclear weapon? How do you actually know that everything is preset versus just being able to accurately see the all? I'm still not exactly clear on that. Art, please post your pictures of China. Well, I certainly will do that. Ed, is there any? Do you have any indication from the remote viewing you've done on North Korea of what occurs after the use of a nuclear device?
Yes. Yes, so many things occur so fast that and essentially the globe is overcome by events, because what happens to intervene is of a geophysical nature. It right very close to the time when the stuff hits the fan at the worst, in the worst possible way, something very extreme, geophysically extreme, happens. And yes, I'm talking about the sun, because I've talked about it a lot. And then there's so many things happening so fast. That's one of the reasons I'm going to stay in my village in Ukraine. I'm going to hunker down and sit there and watch the wheels go round and round. Because
now, I'm getting some fast blasts from people say, all right, Ed originally was in Hawaii, and he did that because he felt that the location he had in Hawaii was a safe place. Now here you go to Ukraine, following your heart. Is that a safe place?
No, in fact, the village that I'm going to right now, many of the residents and children and babies have skin rashes, and the residents there, this is just a small thing. The residents there think that it's anything from the local trees, the trees that are blooming right now, and allergies and all that. But I've already looked at that using our skills, and it's the water. It's something in the water. So, you know, I'll be living with that. And it's pretty wild and primitive there right now. I mean, they still have not set their government. It's barely a government, and it's going to get rough. But
all right, let's go back to the sun for a second, Ed. The sun is an interesting topic, because current research, and I mean the very latest research on the coming solar cycle. A couple of things are indicated. One, they think they found the first reverse sunspot, which means, could mean that we're now seeing the polarity change begin and the next sun cycle begin. And suddenly scientists have been saying that the next sun cycle is going to be bigger than anything we've seen in a long, long time, perhaps bigger than anything we've ever seen. Now, this is relatively new information from the scientists following the sun. And, of course, when I heard that, I reflected on what you've been saying for years about the sun.
I'm aware of the information. I follow that quite closely. I mean, think of the implications just in terms of telecommunications. Down go the satellites, down goes the internet, down go your banking, ATMs, phone calls, all those kinds of things. That's just minimal. God knows what else will happen, because it's probably unprecedented. My parent company, Intuitive Design, They have a project called the Horizon Project. At the top of the hour, you were talking about extreme rapid geologic changes, and then that raised a red flag in my own mind, because that's exactly what the Horizon Project is about. They interviewed some of the most prominent scientists and Nobel laureates in the field who said the same thing you nutshelled, that these changes are a matter of minutes, not geological time, which shocked me.
But that also, yes, is the latest information, Ed, sorry, and it really is important. That is that these glaciers, for example, that they thought took tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years to come and go, or go specifically in this case as planet warms, can in fact go in about 10 seconds, and that lakes that have formed, you know, on top of glaciers can suddenly go to the bottom of glaciers and kind of like putting oil, if you will, or a lubricant between the land and the ice, these things, boom, go like that. And so in 10 seconds, they're gone. So this global change can occur very quickly.
I've always been intrigued by a couple of prophets of old who said there's a point that's reached in the future where everybody on Earth falls down. They can't stand up. Everybody falls down momentarily. And I'm thinking, ooh, you know, that can only mean one thing if everybody at the same time falls down. And you know what that is. That's an axis shift. But I prefer not to think about that.
Well, whatever
only,
is...
You can only handle so much, you know, doom and gloom. Even Dr. Doom can...
Even Dr. Doom, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, so you stand by the very worst of the predictions that you've made, or have any of the... Really, and you've made some rough ones over the years, Ed. They all still stand?
They stand. In fact, there's even more, but I've stopped talking about them. The worst one I've seen so far is that I did not pick up earlier is the contamination of genetically modified crops and the damage that it will do. It's unbelievably worse than people could think. That experiment, injecting genetically modified crops into agriculture worldwide, is going to cause more hardship than people could possibly imagine. It is deadly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I know it certainly has scared the hell out of the Japanese. They stopped importing our rice. They weren't wild about doing that anyway, long grain rice, but they stopped as soon as it was admitted that it did get out. Now, I don't know if they know that there's any real damage as a result of it, not that I'm aware of, but they are concerned about it. So, I don't know. You say you missed that one, huh?
No, I wasn't focused on anything like that, but occasionally I look ahead, and that's something that I couldn't understand why so many people were getting sick and dying, and what was happening out there. It was almost like crop warfare, but I realized it was genetically modified foods that were contaminating the primal stocks. But anyway...
I know. You did. You talked a great deal, Ed, about babies, for example, getting sick and dying as a result of something or another. I think it was milk. You've mentioned that many times, that there was a problem with the milk. And you've talked a lot about that kind of horrible scenario. So you stand by that, and you also stand by the so-called kill shot, right?
Correct.
And you can nail the kill shot down how well now, Ed?
We're still researching time. We've got Geofix, the bugs worked out at Geofix, and now we want to see if the analytical methods that we use to predict, that we tested in the wagering field, if we can use those now and tweak them like a fine formula to pin time down. We're going to start with a month, and then see if we can get it closer. But it would be nice to get the events down to a month. So in other words, remote viewing events that we can foresee out there, but we can't. We don't have that parallax view, and I'm not referring back to the confirmation of an event itself, which I'll hark back to momentarily. I'm referring to the distance in time now. We can't adjudge that at the moment, but we think we've got a foot in the door now, analytically, and we may be able to get things down just in the nick of time.
Well, one of the things that people rake you over the coals for, Ed, is our predictions like the kill shot. That's one of the big ones. Of course, you talk a lot about it. So, you know, they always come back and say, well, huh, there hasn't been any kill shot. He sure missed that one. But one of the things that the public isn't really keyed in on is that you guys are not psychics. In other words, until recently, you've not had any way to really pin down the when of an event. I've seen you have hits, but it seems as though you were not able to pin down the when of an event. You're just getting to that now, right?
We're hoping to have that as a breakthrough, yes, as a final breakthrough in terms of our work, because it's just as important as geophysics is to the trade. Remember, this is a trained skill. Anybody can be trained to do this. It's a skill. We are not psychics. Psychics will occasionally get glimpses of newspaper headlines and things like that. This is known, but it's spontaneous. It's not controlled. And as we knew in the military, you cannot depend on psychics because they don't know when they're on target. They don't know when they're off. And in remote viewing, in the techniques that we teach, the viewer better darn well know when they're on and off target because that's what they're taught to do.
Well, Ingo Swann is one of the greatest psychics. How were you able to take Ingo and switch him from being essentially a psychic to being a remote viewer, or was that never really done?
No, Ingo likes astrology. Actually, he was just a very, very gifted psychic. I mean, he was the key lab rat for many, many years on both in both England and America. But he did something that other psychics did not do. He studied his own behavior cognitively and psychically to determine what was going on. How was he, when he was correct, able to apperceive things correctly? What was going on in his head? We used that. When that was converted into a model in the laboratory, and I'd like to talk more about the laboratory in a moment, and the pot shots that Mr. Russell Tarr took in absentia against me on one of your shows, we'll get there.
Okay.
Ingo put together a model, and it was the lab rat himself that put together the model, and not the scientists that were studying him, about how he was able to do what he did when he was on target. It's that my job was to take that model into the deep, dark world of intelligence and turn that into an effective military intelligence collection tool, which I not only did, but now, 22 years later, we've evolved it into a much, much bigger thing. We're standing on the shoulders of giants, but they're dinosaurs. We can make this thing get up and dance, but not to the point where we can pin down time yet. So we'll get that down. We've got the money to do it now. We just don't have the time. But Ingo, I have nothing but absolute, ultimate respect and regard for him. He was my teacher. He is the father of remote viewing. That is a fact. And
Ed, as you know, I've interviewed most of the remote viewers now. I believe that I've interviewed, and one thing is clear, and this will lead you into what you wanted to talk about, and that is that there's not a hell of a lot of agreement remote viewer to remote viewer. You guys seem to have it in for each other more times than not. Your last comments on Ingo notwithstanding. What's going on in the remote viewing community anyway? What's going on with you guys?
There was no community until I took the model outside and introduced it in 1989 to the world. There wasn't any model for remote viewing. There were no websites except my own on remote viewing. But then the individuals that that worked for me, and in some cases were my peers, did not think there was any money that could be made out of this. When they saw that I was making money with it, then the equation changed. Then things happened. For instance, Joe McMonagle, who was a very gifted psychic, not a trained remote viewer, but a psychic. In fact, I could not use him as an operations officer because of flaws in his data, but he was extremely gifted psychic. We both got Legions of Merit for serving our country well. So he's a good soldier. But Joe, in his first book, Mind Trek, disavowed the existence of an Army program and that he was ever a remote viewer. When I went forward to the public and said, okay, this is what we did and this is who I am, all of a sudden Joe said, yes. In the next edition of Mind Trek, check it out, he says, yes, I was remote viewer number one and there was a program. So that's when it started, when people saw...
You guys were working for the CIA. You were supposed to deny for some period of time, if not forever, weren't you?
We were supposed to do a lot of things, but the model that Ingo developed was not classified. Otherwise, how could I have ever taken it out of the confines of intelligence? There was no way I could do that. That model was not classified. Mm. But the existence, when I came out and said what I said, that's when the program was being disavowed by the CIA. And I said, oh, no. No, it really worked. The CIA, let me set the record straight. That's when they were getting rid of it because it was such a hot potato. It was such a white elephant. It was so controversial. There were generals in the Pentagon that said, if we find out that we're not read on to this top secret program, that said, if we find out Christian generals who used to make their staff pray before at lunchtime, and I'm not kidding, mm-hmm. too. Okay. If we find out that the Army or the Department of Defense is doing something like this, we will shut it down because it's of the occult and that kind of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right, well, you're right. There were some comments made recently on the program about you. You want to respond to them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. This is Mr. Russell Targ, Dr. Russell Targ, mm-hmm. who was one of the founders, the co-founders of the original remote viewing laboratory at Stanford Research Institute, at SRI International now. And the first thing I would like to say is that, you know, don't make the mistake of saying you have 20 years of experience when all you have is 1 year repeated 20 times, because these folks are doing the same experiments over and over again, to wit, validating the existence of remote viewing abilities, psi phenomena, over and over and over again, while we've been out on the streets and trenches putting it to use, learning a whole bunch of stuff. Even the idea that you could use what was called coordinate remote viewing and turn that into something that could be used to solve problems, what was called in the business of topical search, is unknown to Russell Targ. He doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to task mind or focus consciousness with solving a problem. There's no way they can do anything close to what my team can do.
Well, if I recall correctly,
he's run into my students. They're very good remote viewers, he says.
Right.
He says remote viewing is easy to teach. Well, they're very good remote viewing because they're availing themselves of the best training system in the world. And the best.
All right. Well, didn't he say something, Ed, like that you were, in fact, a very good remote viewing teacher, but not much of a remote viewer, or something like that?
He said that was he said that everybody says I'm a good teacher. And they know I'm a good teacher. I know it, too. Okay, now that's ego talking and arrogance. And remember now, for all you new students, you can have ego and arrogance, but make sure when you put your pen on that paper that's out, because the remote viewing process itself is purely objective and robotic. That's the only way we can keep the information clean. But
well, perhaps Russell feels. Well, maybe Russell feels, after listening to you on the program, and after all, you can hear some arrogance in what you say. Maybe he feels an ego of that apparent size cannot be suppressed, even in the best of times, when you attempt to remote view.
Oh, you have to. It reminds me of analogously of intent and attention. For instance, psychics say, well, it's all about intent. What's your intent? That's how we get the information. In our business, focused consciousness business, your intent is what selects the target or the problem to be solved. But it's total focused consciousness that gets you the stuff. In a similar vein, if your ego is present in a session, there it overlays and discolors all of the good information. It's got to go out. But you can strap the ego back on at the end of a session. That's okay. Even athletes, anybody, this is a skill. Everybody that is top of the line, top guns in any skill knows this. They can be arrogant, but once you're on that ski slope or out on the skating rink and all of that, it's your autonomic nervous system and you're training. I don't care if you're a martial artist or what. Mm-hmm. You train to fight and you can't stop and think. This is not a thinking process. No thinking allowed.
All right, well, you've already told us, Ed, how you feel about yourself as a teacher. You think you're a damn good teacher, and frankly, most of the other remote viewers absolutely agree with you. How do you rate yourself as a remote viewer?
I surely would not put myself up there with, let me give you an example. Paul Smith is 20 years behind the power curve in terms of technology, remote viewing technology. But when Paul worked with me and for me, and Mel Riley worked with me and for me, I think both of them are better remote viewers than I am.
Okay.
And I think you interviewed at least one of those.
Oh, yeah. I interviewed Paul. Mm-hmm.
But they don't know how to operate now. They're driving a Model T or Model A, you know, where everybody else is driving a Porsche. And they're really good drivers with that Model A, but they're 20 or 30 years behind the power curve in terms of being able to apply driving skills to the road.
All right, hold the Porsche thing for just a moment. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, that is indeed, Crystal, no question about it. That's a bit of a different recording session than the one I normally play, but that certainly is Crystal. No doubt about that. What a fine lady she is. I'm obviously not going to ask, but I would love to have a new closing song done by Crystal, but that's a lot to ask, so I am not officially asking for it. And who knows, one day perhaps I'll be back in the high desert and we can use that one anyway. You just never know about life, do you? I'm Art Bell. My guest is Major Ed Dames, a remote viewing teacher and also a remote viewer who actually now admits that he's perhaps not the premier remote viewer, but certainly is the premier remote viewing teacher. There's no question about that, and that is exactly what he does. He teaches, and if you want to learn how to remote view, I'm sure that Ed has a way for you to do that. We'll ask about that in a moment. All right. Margo of Las Cruces, New Mexico, wants Ed to stick to what Ed does best. She says, Art, the earth changes are rapidly enveloping us. This may be the last time we get to hear Ed. Please keep to the doomy topics, as in doom. Please push for all the upcoming doomy events for all of us future algae-eating cave dwellers. Ed?
You know, you got to retire sometime. I mean, I'm obligated to a certain degree to do some things, but there's a point that's reached where I'm telling you there's a confluence of events that's right around the corner. It's going to happen so fast and furious, and we've talked about them before. And it's just it would just add misery upon misery
I know, but that's your job, Ed, to make people miserable. So just give us a quick review of the dark side for a moment, if you would. These are things you predicted for years, and frankly, there are hints a lot of them are starting to come true.
The two big ones are disease and the solar flares. The fall migration is beginning to start in the northern hemisphere. And all those birds, there's a large percentage of birds in the world that are carrying the H5N1 virus, and they're about to spread it globally. And we think that it's kind of in the background, a back burner issue, but we're quite wrong. Watch what happens next. That's just one form of disease, because our immune systems are being suppressed by the environment, and a disease is going to run rampant like you've never seen before. And I don't mean just flu. So disease is going to be a very, very serious issue, and we're going to get caught by it too in the northern hemisphere, but not quite as much as in the south. But bird flu will catch everybody. And the solar flares, what I've called the kill shot, is a series of extremely damaging solar flares that will start very, very soon. And one of the things they will do minimally is dry up the heat. Heating the Earth's atmosphere will start to desiccate wide areas of the fresh water. Fresh water will dry up. Glaciers will melt. That's a big problem because you need water. Food issue. You can survive without food for longer than you can without water, but water wars will begin. Those two issues alone are enough to keep people busy and to avoid a Mad Max scenario, because you're going to have to be, many people are going to be in a position when all of a sudden food's cut off to cities, and there's only about a three-day food supply in most cities, to have to defend your home. Are you prepared to kill marauders? Are you prepared to kill a marauder? How about you New Age folks? Are you prepared to put a bullet or a knife in a marauder who's trying to not only take your food, but perhaps rape your daughters and hurt your family?
There'd be a yes from even many of the New Age types. Why, Ed, are you moving from ostensibly a safe location in the Hawaiian Islands to Ukraine that you tell us is not safe? People want to know.
Easy for you to understand. I fell in love with a very beautiful young Ukrainian girl with a very beautiful young daughter. And that's my new home. Wherever she is, that's my home.
The love over safety.
Right. It comes first. Life is
actually, true. I do understand that, Ed. I really do. So that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So these solar flares, we are at the tipping point, polarity-wise, on the sun, and you feel that as the next cycle begins, it's going to start very quickly and it's going to be very big.
Yes, unprecedented. There has been nothing like this in recorded history. Prehistory, yes, but in recorded history, no.
There are some Israeli scientists, Ed, who think that the dinosaurs were not done in by a big rock colliding with Earth. They think the dinosaurs were done in by a gigantic solar flare, radiation actually, from the sun, which makes a lot more sense to me than the traditional story. That might be something you might want to take a look at.
It was something from a star, whether it was a gamma ray burster from, mm-hmm. from the distant part of the galaxy or our sun, I am not sure.
How long do we have, Ed? I guess that's the question you really just can't answer yet. The answer is not long, but, I mean, is it a few years yet or
I what? Think so. I think so. I think we have maybe 6 or 7, maybe a decade if we stretch it. Some of us, I mean, face it. For a lot of the citizens on our planet, life is already hell. Daily existing in something beyond hell in sub-Saharan Africa, you can't describe a hell worse than what you read about in terms of what's going on there. There's no hell that's worse than that.
And so, you did indeed predict that kind of hell for Africa many years ago on this program. People who dislike you tend to, you know, cast off these things that you have hit. And, God, you did hit it on Africa. Now, you talked about a spore, you'll recall, some kind of spore entering our atmosphere, and you thought it would be the African continent, and you saw a lot of devastation in Africa. Now, what about that one?
Claviceps purpurea. It's one of the, it's probably one of the 27 rust fungi that will mutate, and that has already started to mutate. So you've got the let's call it an immune system, at least physiologically speaking, of plants, especially grasses, is going to be suppressed by mutant genes. Thanks to a few companies, and now they're going to get hit by a rust that's a super rust, and they're not going to be able to survive. Grasses are going to go, and, you know, rice is a grass, wheat is a grass, corn.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of food.
All right. And so we do have perhaps as long as 6 to 10 years before the very worst of it begins to occur. Is all life on Earth eventually, or within a decade or so, going to be gone?
No. I think the old biblical scenario, two-thirds of the fishes in the sea, two-thirds of people, that's probably closer to what we're perceiving in ballpark figures. Two-thirds.
Two-thirds of the current
humanity,
population.
Humanity, seas, plants, trees, yeah.
And this bird flu business, I've been very, very, very concerned about the bird flu myself. You're suggesting to us that there is an infection rate out there that we just have no idea about, and it's going to begin hitting all at once. Does this mean that the H5N1 virus is going to mutate in a way that makes it, in a flu-like manner, communicable to humans?
Well, already is in to some respect, but that will get worse. In fact, one mistake I made, Dr. Walter Lee, my friend in Hong Kong, who I would like to introduce you to, he is the president of the Rotary Club, I said Chamber of Commerce. He is the owner of the largest private hospital in Asia, an incredibly beautiful hospital. I call it, it's like UCLA Medical Center with a soul. It's beautiful. And he will tell you all about, in private, how dangerous the bird flu is.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll look forward to that meeting. If you really can set that up, he's in Hong Kong?
Yes, he's in Hong Kong. He's president of the Rotary Club and the owner of the largest private hospital in Asia, beautiful hospital.
Okay, well, we're about an hour and a half hop from Hong Kong. As I mentioned, I'm going to take it here in the next few weeks. So.
And he's one of your fans, too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, well, that should make it easy then. I'd very much like to have the inside story.
Oh,
on that virus, because I have the kind of concerns that you're expressing about it also, Ed. And a lot of very reputable scientists have come out with tremendous concerns. It's just sort of it's kind of lately moved into the background. Some of the early predictions of the mutation of the virus did not come true, but you're saying, hold on, they're about to.
Yeah, there's a delayed reaction there, and what you're not hearing from the from some of the insiders who do know how dangerous the situation is, but are. News outlets squelch their opinions and analyses.
No,
so you're not getting the scoop.
We don't have to do that here. No. We can just lay it out the way you see it. Everybody with the understanding that you are listening to a remote viewer.
Well, he's going to start by seeing lime pits in North America pretty soon, where we're going to have to start culling lots and lots, millions and millions of birds. Those will go into lime pits. That's how it will start.
Well, now you're living up to your name, all right. Ed, when do you actually move back to Ukraine? What's the timetable for that? How soon?
In the next, for the rest of the year, I'll be in Ukraine most of the time, and then I'm moving permanently January, February. I'll only be stateside a little bit. I have two workshops. These are my marketers don't want me to say this, but I feel that I have to say it. These are my last two in-person workshops in Las Vegas, basic and advanced workshops. And I'll only be teaching subsequently on the Internet at my DVD training site from that point.
All right. Are the workshops already full, or do you want to promote them? I mean, you are a very good remote viewing teacher, whatever anybody else thinks about anything else you say. You are a good teacher. So are they full, or are there still spots left, or what?
Each is about half full, but that will change quickly, and usually does. One September, this month, the 23rd and the 24th is the basic. In October, the 21st and the 22nd, that weekend is the advanced, and those are both in Las Vegas. If someone is if they're interested in them, the links to my websites are on Lex Lonehood put them on your homepage,
mm-hmm.
and or you can go right to learnrv.com if you want. There's a toll-free number if you want to sign up for the workshops as well.
Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
To either order my Learn RV DVDs or to sign up for the workshops, it's 1-866-607-8439.
Okay. Let me give that again. That's toll-free 866-607-8439. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. If somebody is a neophyte, knows nothing about remote viewing, can they come to the beginning session and walk away with some ability to remote view?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what we do. That's what we do.
How much of an advantage or is it a disadvantage does somebody with some kind of psychic ability have?
It is usually as much an advantage and disadvantage as someone, let's say, who is a martial artist in one style. Remember, this is a skill. This is a learned skill. And then tries to adapt to another one. Some people can do that fairly quickly, but it's difficult because your autonomic nervous system, in this example, is tuned to react in a certain way, and now you're being asked to do something else, generally speaking. So it can be a disadvantage. What we want are people who know nothing about as psychic as a rock, like I was when I learned. You fresh meat.
Yeah,
it's a boot camp.
How does it begin, Ed? I mean, if you sit down and you're starting one of your classes, how does it begin, assuming you've got a lot of fresh meat in front of you? How do you start with them?
It's not as difficult as you think because to learn this, especially the starting skills, aren't that difficult because there's a set procedure. It's just like any other skill. You just do this. There's no thinking allowed, so you don't have to worry about thinking. If you're worried, that means you're thinking. If you're anticipative or you're nervous, that's thinking too. So we mm-hmm. nip that in the bud really quickly. We just ask you to do this, and go through these steps, just like tightrope walking or martial arts or whatever. Just do as the teacher says, And then, mm-hmm. and that way you absorb.
And again, if somebody wants to remote view in order to, well, frankly, make a lot of money, get rich, hit the lottery, go to Vegas and clean up whatever, there's not a real problem with that.
They're going to have to go through the advanced workshop for that, or practice for at least, I would say, 6 months before they really get good enough to be able to tackle those kinds of situations. However, that's the kind of thing that we're doing in terms of my team. But if they want to win the daily free lottery, those skills are fairly easy. In fact, two of my students who won the Texas State Lottery twice produced a DVD on winning the lottery, too. So it's not that's not that difficult.
No kidding. And again, you've got winning lottery tickets posted, and you're just about to post the results of the Las Vegas betting on your website as well, right?
Yeah, we're about to post anywhere from 20 to 70,000 worth, and we'll keep putting them up there just to rub it in. I mean, excuse me, just to demonstrate that this is a big thing after 22 years. We had some big breakthroughs lately all of a sudden. I'm glad I didn't retire.
John in Los Angeles asks about something that's been in and out of this program for years, and that is Planet X, named many other things. We'll call it Planet X. Do you know, have you ever remote viewed anything of that sort, some large planetary body that will come close to the Earth?
There does seem to be something that causes the most amount of solar flare, and in terms of some type of an electric or a gravitational reaction, something that we have said that might be what has been termed Planet X. I talk about this in the DVD called The Kill Shot, that there does appear to be, as far as our team is concerned, a passing space body, we don't call it Nibiru or Planet X, that causes the sun to really go crazy and produce the most deadly of solar flares. And not being a scientist or a geophysicist or a solar physicist, I don't understand the dynamics and the physics behind this, but we demonstrate what we're seeing. We're observers. We're trained observers. We're not scientists. We have to go to the scientist and say, what's this? Or to the doctor when we diagnose a disease and say, what's this? And the doctor will say, well, we need more information about this. So we say, mm-hmm. we'll be back. And we go another 45 minutes and come back with the additional information. Then the specialist tells us what we've got as observers.
Mm-hmm. Jerry in Brewer, Maine comments that you have a terrible telephone. You do. It pops. It hisses. It's just terrible. When you go to Ukraine, leave it in the States.
Okay, roger that. Welcome.
Hopefully, we'll get to do an interview with you from Ukraine. You obviously will continue remote viewing even in Ukraine, right?
Correct, yes. As much as I can. Mm-hmm. Well, I've already started, actually, because I had that problem in my village where everybody's breaking out with a skin rash and thinking that it's something in the air like a pollen or whatever, and it's not. It's the water. They're showering with water that's got some nasty things in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe just a simple test of the water might be in order. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be the first thing I do, yes.
As a matter of fact, for yourself, be very careful of that. Something we also have to be aware of here where I am. So, all right, Ed, coming up after the break, we're going to take some calls. And as I said, I love it when people ask you to take on this or that. And, you know, eventually something that is suggested is going to hit your fancy and you're going to take it on. Are you up for that?
Well, I'm up for that, but keep in mind now, I'm in transition like you are, and you know how long it takes to move. Also, I'm getting married, and it's like right out of my big fat Greek wedding, 300 villagers at a wedding with a guy who doesn't speak Russian. That's going to be a trip, and then I'm setting up a household. So I'll be out of the net for a while. I will take on locating you and tracking you down like the dog that you are, finding out where you live. We'll do that. That's fun. But I will take other challenges, but we'll have to put them on the back burner. My team likes to do this. So.
All right. How does your team feel about your taking off for Ukraine?
I think they're pretty happy for me. We're pretty close. They've all got mates, and I was a workaholic, all nighter, and Freediver.
Okay, listen, we got to hold it there. We'll be right back. Phone lines coming open for Ed Dames in a moment. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.